You are listening to the Transformation Table Podcast, where we talk about God's business.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuning this morning to Barsock Radio, and you can also watch us on Barsock live stream on our website. And I see there's already some people already booked. Tune in this morning, this Thursday morning, the 16th of October. I just want to see, there's some of my brothers already on Zoom. Can you guys hear me nicely? Can you hear me? Is it good? Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Henry. Good morning, Samuel. I saw you were also on the broadcast on the website. There was a Samuel, Hendrik Samuel from Namibia, that tuned in this morning. Was it you? Yes. You were tuned in this morning to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business. And this morning, we always, most of the times, well, the last couple of weeks, we receive, I've got a new computer here, Apple, so I'm getting used to everything. But I need to say, I enjoy it. God bless your heart.
Well done.
Yes,
yeah, you'll love it.
I enjoy it. I enjoy this. It's, something to get used to, no?
Yeah.
But, I'm so used to Apple, but I said to Hannah yesterday, I said to Hannah yesterday, why didn't you tell me about this? So yeah, even the Zoom and stuff is different, but wow, what a thing to have. God bless. Hey, let's just get this out. Good morning, Henry. How was your trip, the late last trip you went?
Yeah, it's very, very good. You know, it's lovely to speak to people who really want to hear.
Yeah.
It's such a difference. And in that group, in every group where you minister, you have those who really want to hear and those who just happen to be there.
Yeah.
Who are not ready to hear. But I speak to those who want to hear, and you can just see the seed going into the soft soil.
Amen.
And then afterwards, the response you get, they want more and more and more. I love it.
Awesome. Peter, how things there in the East End, my brother?
Oh, we're doing well. We're doing well. God is good, even on the East End.
Even there, you say. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You need to think of it. What was thought of Nazareth if the question was asked, can something good come out of that place? Yeah, places I stayed in my life. If I go there now, I drove the last time I went to the East West End to Krugersdorp. Yeah, some of the places there where I used to stay. Yeah, it's like a ruin. It's bad to see it like that. It was tough those days, but I think now it's like the drug dealers took over there.
Sure.
Yeah, so
yeah. We need the Lord big time.
Big time. Big time.
Yes.
Big time.
And then Namibia, Samuel, what can you tell us, brother? How's things there?
Yeah, no, it's okay. The first thing is last night the rain has started.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it's wonderful. It's cloudy. Even a few minutes ago, also, it stopped. It was a soft rain. So it means the whole day it will be rainy. That's wonderful.
So it actually rains in Namibia,
right? As Nafreg was now saying shortly there about drug dealing in Krugersdorp, yeah. Especially this side, the capital, Windhoek, yeah. the drug dealers, and they have the police in their pocket. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have put the police, even the key officers, on their payrolls. So just imagine, it's worse.
That's not good. Yeah, this corruption is all over. It's a spirit. It's an evil spirit. Crime has got nothing to do with the color of your skin. It's a war between light and darkness. And it doesn't ask your age, what is your gender. Always tell the youth in the schools. You need to excuse my background. We're almost done with this studio. So I can't wait to get it up and running like I want it. So, but yeah, I always tell the youth in the prisons and in schools, drugs is not looking for what is your gender or your age or what race are you. It just wants to destroy you. And to see how freely available drugs are, it's scary. But come to think of it, we don't even have a specialized drug unit in South Africa anymore in the police. In the old days, we had the old SANAP branches, experts in drug dealing and in drugs. And nowadays, to be with all respect, there's a lot of policemen that doesn't even know what drugs really are, or maybe our SANAPs, like you said, are on the payroll or also addicted to it, So yeah, it's a bad thing. Yeah.
Well, let's just change the conversation to, but God is not finished with us yet.
Amen.
Yes.
Preach to us, brother. Preach to us.
Yes. Now, Priyanka and the team, what I was sharing the other day, the Saturday's outreach. Well, yeah, at the mall, no, it was very wonderful.
So
Very powerful.
did you actually go to the mall and you spread the gospel one to one? Or did you
Yes,
cancel
yes.
everybody?
No. What I do is I approach one to one. Like I met a friend who came out with the trolley from the shop and just greet someone and we stand and we talk. So people here passing, they think that these two people is just maybe friends or talking normal things. But
Yeah.
I'm busy with the word. Yeah, and the person I met a young girl. She is a student, but she's from Swakopmund. And she listened, and then she said, no, she's backsliding. She came from Christian family, and she was born again when she was 14 years old. Not born in by going to boyfriends and things, but stop going to church, stop reading the Bible. And even last night, I was chat with her on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So she will come back now and she will join. So there is a school that I have to visit where my daughter is also schooling, and the principals, the teachers are having a lot of problems with bell hammers or
Yeah.
bullies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was sharing with her. Yeah, so I will take a team of maybe just five is enough. Young people. Now my target is students.
Sure.
And she's willing to come, but now it's the exam time, and there are lots of tests and studying. But what I want to target before year end, maybe after the exams 2 years before the holiday starts, or before the exam starts. It will depend on the principal's calendar. And if we cannot make it the next year yearly as the school is beginning, then we will take on the schools. I bought a nice small speaker, Frika, 100 and no, 1,300 watts. It's very small, but very loud.
That's all you
Not
need.
for music, yeah, but for spreading. So I will also use it for the prisons.
Yeah, we don't. The evangelist doesn't worry so much about the music. They can worship afterwards. How can they worship somebody that they don't even know? First, preach the
They only
gospel and then.
normally, Yeah, only one song is enough.
Yeah.
Only one song is
Yeah.
enough, and then.
Well, you see, the songs draw them. The song draw them.
Yeah.
They come out of the
Yeah.
cells, and then bam,
Yeah.
we can sing later. We got
Yeah.
Charlie the other day. Charlie, we went to the waiting trial section here in Mossel Bay, youth, and he sang. He started singing that song, "Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door." You know that
Yes.
song? I think it's a was it a Bob Dylan song? Who sang that song?
Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, but they came out with it. It's like, what? Who's this playing a CD? And he was just going for it. Then knock, knocking on heaven's door. So, okay, he's not,
Yeah.
you don't need to knock this morning. He's knocking on your door. So,
Yes.
morning, Menza, my brother. Morning, Ken, Sue, Anthony, Fritz. Yeah, we are live on Bars Rock Radio this morning again, and also on the TV live streaming, and there's people tune in. I saw this morning earlier there was people in Texas that was on the channel, so hopefully they're still on. And good morning, you are looking and listening to us, the Transformation Table family. We sit on Zoom around the table now, and you've, some of you can see at the back of me, I've got a big table now here in my studio, because it all started there in Menzo's Lapa. And also at the men's ministry, when you were there at the hotel afterwards, yeah, we shared the word and we had a great time. And but the great, great ministry was afterwards, when we sat around the table and had a breakfast together and just fellowshipping. That's where, that's it. Look at Peter. Look at Peter. There we go. And so this thing is still alive in me. And yeah, that was also when we did a recording there in his Lapa, where he sits now with Menzo. Menzo, I just want to share something also special with after listening to Samuel. I received a WhatsApp yesterday, but normally people just send me a video of me being on their TV, the YouTube channel. And these people were in Kalfinia visiting their sister. They're on their way to another town in the Northern Cape for her husband's got a contract job there. And she sent me this video of us preaching somewhere. And she said, "You, I must pray with her because she's now with her sister and her husband, and they don't know the Lord, that the Lord will use these videos on YouTube," because they were sitting and watching YouTube the whole day there in Kalfinia. So it was and mostly, and then she sent me a couple of times, she sent me videos, and then at one stage there was a daddy's testimony. And she took her camera to both the sister and the husband sitting there, but you could see they were watching that TV about that guy who got the death sentence and God saved him. So praise God for technology. Praise God for can I say so seeing your title or your theme or what we're going to speak about this morning. Yesterday I was thinking the first one I saw. A soft ground. I thought, oh, is this now somebody that is soft? But then when I went and looked, spent some time and just went to see. So yeah, I don't want to run it up yet. But morning, Menzo. It's great to see you this morning, my brother.
Morning, good morning, everybody. What a round table to sit around. I mean, I wish you guys were all sitting with me on the Lapa. The first thing I would have done is taken some steaks out of the big steaks out of the fridge, and we would have made a fire, steaks for breakfast. And we would be celebrating each other and just enjoying each other around the table. I just quickly say, Freya, also everybody's looking very beautiful this morning on the they just definitely listened to your coaching on setting up the camera systems. Everybody's looking very nice, and what a pleasure to sit around the table and having this discussion. It's like Samuel just said, him and his friend were just chatting in the mall, and it attracted attention, and everybody wants to hear the good news.
It's tough to hear that we don't have a specialized drug unit in the police and all those things. But the good news is the good news. Yeah. And God integrates into everything. I mean, even a Bob Dylan song. I remember at Mighty Men a couple of years ago when Angus was playing us a Bob Dylan song called You Will Serve Somebody. You will serve in heaven or you will serve hell, but you will serve somebody, you know. And, it hit really hard because you've got a choice, and you've got to make the choice. Yeah, there's life is full of choices, and those choices will take you on a certain path and a certain destination. And there's the big question: that destination. Where are you gonna take your next breath after you have taken your last breath? Are you gonna take it in the arms of Jesus that's welcoming you? Oh, and we don't want to scare anybody, but the other guy is not nice. It's not going to be a good place. We heard that last week, Friday. It's not. You want to be in heaven. There's no question about it. But before we get too heavy, I see Peter put his hand up, so I'm guessing he wants to open for us in prayer. Where's Peter?
Just before we do that, I put my hand up because I noticed the same thing that you noticed, that Sue's changed her lighting and her seated position, and it's looking good. So well done, family. Well done.
Hi,
Bob
hello. I
Dylan.
haven't got my new cam. I haven't got my camera in place yet, but I have changed
Yeah,
my.
okay. There we go, man. Bob Dylan. His name is Robert Zimmerman. He's a Jew, and he in an interview he told the world that he had sold his soul to Satan to become Bob Dylan, and that now about 10 or 15 years ago he received Christ as his savior, and the battle that he went through to get his soul back from the devil. But nothing is impossible. Somebody out there needs to hear this morning. So, like Freek says, it's not how you start or what happens along the way. It's how you finish. It's how you finish. For all of us, eternity has already begun. It's not something that starts when you die. It's already in. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the power of choice. Thank you, Lord. It is a superpower that has eternal ramifications. It's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of eternity with Jesus or an eternity separated from God. And so, Lord, I thank you for each and every one that tunes in. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you touch us? Would you convict us of righteousness, of sin, of judgment? Father, these are not matters that people get scared about. This is reality, and the time is coming. I don't know when my rapture is. I don't know when Menzo's rapture is, but Lord, are we as individuals ready to stand before Jesus? I pray today, Lord, that you would steer this conversation exactly where you want it to go, that you will take the lead, take us from where we are now to where you want to end up. We ask you to bless our meeting this morning. Bless it, Lord. May it be productive. May it carry the weight of God's glory on it. And we thank you for the new chapter, Lord, in our lives. Every day is a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. Yesterday ended at midnight last night. Those who need to hear this, today is a new day, a clean sheet of paper. Partner with God today and write this next chapter of your life, because it's not yet written. I pray, Father, just to thank you for this opportunity. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Priyak, I'm
Amen.
sure you figured it out now. I can see where this meeting is going, so prepare yourself. I just want to say, when I set the theme, soft soil, my experience, there's nothing soft about God's warriors. Nothing soft. What did Umanga say yesterday morning? The softest part of them are their teeth. The guys that I've met that are serious about Jesus and their life are tough guys. They become tough.
Yeah.
Fritz, if I may use you as an example, I met Fritz before he got saved, just briefly, and after he got saved, in my eyes, he's and he, and Fritz is a tough guy, but he is now a tough guy. My brother-in-law, the special forces soldier, American soldier, I mean, he's a problem. If you're gonna put him in a corner, you're gonna have your hands full. You're gonna have problems. It doesn't matter what if he's got a open hands. If there's not even a weapon in his hands, you're gonna have a difficult time talking you and getting out of that situation. And he said to me one day, I said to him, Jason, what do you do? And he looked me very serious in the eye and he bit his lip and he said, nobody goes over the wall and comes for my family and my people. Nobody. And I realized that day, this is not a guy that you toy with. He's not only got the right training, he's got the right heart. And he's a serious Christian. And I've seen that so many times. There's nothing soft about a man that takes God serious. Samuel will approach softly and kindly, but doesn't mean softness. It doesn't mean meekness, or not meekness, weakness. It's toughness. So I just want to commend all the men out there that is getting into the word, getting into the field, getting into the game. Going to the tough places. Sue, apologies for using the word tough men. I'm using actually. And you know what, Sue? I was chatting to my wife the other day, and I asked her who's the people that she's looking up to. And I realized it's not the cool dudes. It's not. I don't even know what the guys' names are. Not the TV stars and stuff like that. It is the people around us that stand the man, that say they say and stand their man.
Men
Yes,
and women.
men and women, absolutely, absolutely.
Mighty, mighty, mighty.
Mighty. Yeah, we had this chat before, Peter, but I personally think that my journey started, not through the church that I went to, but my mom joined a group of ladies, what was called Women's Aglow.
Yeah.
A movement that was very, and she would take me with once or twice. So my time with God actually started with the ladies.
Oh.
So this morning's theme, soft soil, is something actually they touched on last week, and we're still busy with the nickname of the 100 Rand man. And my question to myself came, what is the attributes of soft soil? What would be in Umenri, we have two different names almost for the same situation, but it's the different angles that we look at it for the purpose of this discussion. The one is discipleship, and the other one is mentorship. And there's some similarities. You could almost say it's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. But how do you identify? And I'm actually asking the question because I want to know. What do you see? What would be a student? Because the student has to become a student before he will be a student. It's just not a normal guy that becomes a student. is the normal guy that becomes a student, but it's not the normal guy that is ready to learn. He has to become a student first. He has to start in his mind saying, but there's more, or I don't know this, or show me this. Fiek, I'm sure when you enter in that prison yard, you sit there and you've got these guys with their eyes, and I think it's just question marks that is on their faces. Why am I here? Why am I sitting in the situation that I'm sitting? Why am I under the circumstances? That's a beautiful one, Peter. Don't be under the circumstances. You must be
What's it
above
is?
the circumstances. Under the
Yeah.
circumstances are no good. That's not a good place to be. So my question is, and there's a reason why I'm asking. I'm asking actually for the mentor or for the teacher. How to identify soft soil so that you don't run yourself over. There's moments where you or times where you spend a lot of time and effort with a student, and all you do is frustrate yourself because he's not soft soil. Where do you make the call? So the question is, what is the characteristics of a student or soft soil? How does that person, what does that person look like, sound like, smell like, all those things? So yes, I would love to hear from your guys that is in the teacher position, or coaching position. Let's call it just for putting a nice spin on it, the coaching position. How does that person look? How do you identify that person? I don't know if any of you guys have got I've got my pen and paper here ready, and I've got my question mark behind my question. Give me number one, please. Don't be shy.
I think that's a very important question. And as you said, Menzo, something that's extremely frustrating if you've not identified the answer to this question, because you can spend a lot of time as a teacher ministering the word in the church or what have you. Teaching and preparing and spending a lot of time making sure that you send out good messages, that's a good seed. And then only to find after years that you've accomplished absolutely nothing. There's been no change. And it's because of this very thing, the good soil. Now, Jesus gave a parable about that. The fact that he specifically gave a parable about that means it's important. And that's the sower sowing the seed, and it falls in four different kinds of soil. The rocky ground, the hard ground, being on the roadside, and the birds come and just pick up the seed and it's lost forever. The seed amongst the thorns means there's so many distractions, and desires for other the worldly things in life that those thorns grow and sap out all the goodness of the good seed, and the good seed can't grow well because the distractions just take out all the goodness out of the soil. And then the rocky ground is there's hard places. It's not all hard. There's a bit of soft, a bit of hard, but because it's rocky, this you don't get good production. And then the good soil, you use the word soft. We're not soft, but there's an area of our lives that has to be soft, and that's our heart. The stronger the person, the more soft his heart needs to be. And I believe, and I get this from years of just seeing this particular thing and having had to combat it myself, that one's heart needs to be soft in order to receive the seed and make something good out of the seed. And what I've seen with this is the softness. I wrote a little book called Learning to Hear, And I quote a lot of scripture on this, and one of the things in the Sermon on the Mount that you see is right at the end of three chapters of teaching, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The last thing that he gives is the man who built his house on the rock or on the sand, and the one who built his house on the rock, that house stood firm when the storms came. The one who built his house on the sand, there was no solid foundation, and when the storms came, the same storm came to both. Both of these people, as it were, sat in the same teaching. Both had the same storms, but the one who built his house on the sand, it collapsed. So there's a hardness. Your foundation has to be very solid. But the difference between these two men is the essence of the answer to this question. Is he heard and did. He'd heard and did. The other one heard and didn't do. In other words, there's a response. And the soft soil is being able to hear and respond immediately when you read something in the scriptures, or you hear a message, and you don't just think about it and put it on the shelf for applying later. You do immediately what God tells you. One of the things that made a huge difference in my life, and was published worldwide when I did it, was when God spoke to me. After the government had come and taken my farm, and the leader of that pack of people, bullies, if I can call it that, was the land commissioner. And I was in an office, and I heard the man, the businessman that I was speaking to, he said, "Oh, that man has had a stroke. He's very sick." And straight away, the Holy Spirit put in my heart, "Go and pray for that man." I got in my car straight away, and I drove to where I found him, and I knocked on the door. And when I opened the door, there this man sat. You could see this man was very sick. He was gray, and just you could just see straight away. And I said to him, "Sir, I believe that you're sick. I've come to pray for you, for God to heal you." And he said, I said, "May I do that?" He said, "Yes, please." So I came in to this very man who, a few weeks before, had taken my farm and everything that I have. I went behind him, laid my hands on his shoulders, and prayed for him. And God healed that man. But I mean, it was a miracle. It was such a major thing. Simple thing on my side, but such a major thing that was published on right through South Africa. That act, people found out what I did, and in the big newspapers, even in Zimbabwe, was a big article, front page news: "Farmer prays for enemy," and it was published on Sky News and France 24 all over the place, because it's unusual for, I mean, it's strange, but it's unusual for a Christian to hear and do. And it's just a softness of heart to say, "Whatever it costs me, Lord, if you speak to me, I'll do straight away." And that, this weekend I was ministering at the camp, and at this camp there was a tiny elderly lady that just gave me 100% focus and attention. And afterwards she came, and you could see years a disciple. Potential disciple. She's ready. She's not just hearing, but she's ready to do. "I want to hear more. I want to know, and I want to understand." And I was just before this meeting, I was looking up this word, understand. When the kingdom of God, sorry, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand that word, that comprehend. It uses this word several times when Jesus speaks. Some people understand. There's a comprehending, and that comprehending has to do with I hear, and I'm willing to give my life to doing what it says. I think that's the central key, hearing and doing. And that takes a self-taught. And I want to add something else to it. With the hearing and doing, there's a gesindheid, there's a, what's the English word for gesindheid? There's an attitude.
Attitude.
An attitude of heart which says, I do not know everything. about a year ago, I just had such a revelation. God opened this very thing to me. And I was ministering at the church, and I said, I just want, I had a major revelation this week. I said, I want to tell you about that. I said, I had a revelation that I do not know everything. I need to learn. And if you want to teach somebody else, you need to be at a place where you admit, I actually also do need to learn. And the fact that you say, I need to learn, opens your heart to whatever the Lord wants to say to you, or whatever the discipler teaches. You can't be a discipler if you are not a disciple. Willing to hear, willing to seek. We were speaking about a few things about a year ago to a group of people, and it was about baptism in full immersion, what as the scripture speaks. And one person they said, when I hear from God that I need to be baptized, then I'll do that. But until then, I'm happy with my life as it is. I said, well, how much more do you need? The scripture says, go and be baptized. How much more do you need God to speak to you? The scripture already speaks like that in his particular case. And you find a person is satisfied with their life where it is. I don't want to change. I'm comfortable where I am. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do something that I'm not used to. And once you harden your heart, that's a hard heart that says that, you'll find that you can receive no more instruction. Because at the point that you harden your heart, you harden your heart to everything. You're comfortable. I don't want to change. And you can't grow. You're in a place where the seed has fallen into rocky soil, and it cannot grow. Your soil in your heart has to be soft soil, and that soft soil is very simply a humble attitude. I don't know everything, and if I learn something that I've not known before, I bow to it. So I'm willing. No matter what my past is, I'm willing to bow to this thing that I've learned. And once you get used to this attitude of heart, where you say, if you are speaking to me about something, Lord, if there's something in my heart that's not right, I'm willing to bow straight away, like going and speak to that man who's just taken my farm and go and pray for him. That's God speaking, I'm willing to immediately respond. And until that willingness, that attitude of heart of willingness to do what God says, until that is there, your heart is too full of other distractions, too full of rocky things, too hard, and you, that seed will never grow. But that's what I've found.
Thank you, Henry. Many, many truths. I recall a day that I was sitting, one of my mentors, in business, elderly Italian gentleman, mathematical genius, and I went and asked him to help me with something, and he sat there and he had his pen in his hand and he was doing calculations, and I could see him getting frustrated. And he was punching his pen on the paper. And the Italians can lose their cool real quickly. And he works out and then he scratches out and he punches his. And I could hear him, being frustrated. And he looked up at me over his glasses. He said, I'm so lucky you're here because now I'm learning something new. And I thought, ish, it's me that came for the learning, But because he was frustrated with the question that I asked, he learned from that. You have to have that heart of, I need to understand this. And if you get asked the questions, if you get put into the corner with the questions that your student ask, you learn as well. And eventually he admitted, he said, "Menzo, I don't know. Go away. Come back when I'll call you to come back and we can talk about this. Let me go and figure this out," because I could see that he was a little bit embarrassed that he didn't have this on his fingertips. And the thing was, he was doing calculations out of his head that I think very few people can do with very fancy calculators. But the point I'm trying to make is that I went to go and sit by him to learn, and he said to me, "I'm so lucky that you're here, because it gives me opportunity to learn." And I thought, that's an interesting way of seeing this problem. Peter, go for it, please.
This whole subject of mentorship is very well covered in the letters of Paul to Timothy and Titus. And I mean, you could really make a study. There's so much there. But what I want to point out is in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, there's two factors that Paul starts with. And he says, "The things you have heard me say." So what you've learned from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust those things. There's two factors here: to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So mentorship is not us, it's about what's after us. And so that challenge, the same chapter, verse 15, for example, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." And I mean, there is such a lot of truth in this. Are they reliable, and are they on the growing, on the cutting edge? Are they on the growing edge? And as Henry just said, even the mentor must be reliable and on the growing edge. And that's where growth happens. And let's just leave it at that. When I first started out in ministry, my spiritual father is a man who could quote the Bible word for word. And you could ask him at any time, and he would give you exactly the verse. He had an amazing theological knowledge. And he said, "Right, Pete, I'm going to take you under my wing, and you and I are going to walk a road together." And he was going to mentor me. And he said, "I will meet you at 5:30 every Saturday morning at my house. You bring the coffee." And that's already, what a call. 5:30. What about 6:30? No, 5:30. And you bring the, And that's what he was doing before he taught me. He was checking, am I reliable? And will I put in the effort? And I mean, no coach is going to coach somebody who won't pitch up to train, or he pitches up drunk, or, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. But those letters cover a tremendous amount. The other soft thing in a man and woman of God is their conscience. Gewete. The heart must be soft and the conscience must be soft. I think soft soil to me is pliable. You can bend it and shape it and run your hands through it. There's no blockages, no hindrances, no funny ho-hos, And there's so much to learn from this.
Thank you, Peter. May I make this note and say it like this? Mentorship is not about the teacher or the student. It's about what comes after that. Is that accurate enough?
It's not about us, it's about after us. What is he going to do with what I teach him? Because how is he going to learn? Is he going to just take 100%, or is he just taking 80 or 40%? And then he's only going to pass on 20%.
It's interesting how we get back to this thing all the time, but the more and more I think about it, the word, there's so many mentor, student, disciple stories. I don't think there's I don't think you'll be able to put three pages together where there's not a student or teaching process going on. It's a very common thread through the word. Freek, you had your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Menzo. Looking at this whole discussion this morning, yesterday, I was thinking, and I need to be honest, I had to go to ChatGPT and say, listen, what is this thing about? What's important? Just to get some just direction, especially when it comes to English. It's much
Freek,
easier.
sorry, can I just butt in? Your mic is very soft.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Is it better?
A little
Yes,
bit up
correct.
more.
Is it better? Is it better now?
Yes, much better.
Yes,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
Okay. So yeah, I was thinking about this thing, and I'm honestly went to ChatGPT and just said, what is important to a mentor when it comes to soft heart? And amazing to see what came out, and I would love to read it to you guys, but normally when I see that, especially when it comes to the English, it helps me to with the wording and that, because it's easy in Afrikaans to just to bring out what's in my heart. Otherwise I make mistakes like I did in the past and calling something that's not the right meaning of what I want to say. But if I, by God's grace, walk into a prison, the first thing that I know is that the most of them will be hardened soil. Now, to discern between the soft and the hard soil, the soft heart and the hardened heart, I believe under every hardened ground there must be soft ground. So if I walk into a prison or and I feel or I pick up rejection, it's that hardened soil that doesn't want to accept this, it rejects them. They're not acceptive like the soft soil, the soft heart that says, yes, I want to listen to you, I want to learn from you, and then I want to change. The hardened heart says, I'm fine, I don't need you. And but when God comes and the word comes, like the word declares, like a hammer, and breaks that hardened heart, and God brings that heart transplant, that transformation in a person, you can see that especially the youth, they're much more to you. There is something different, and when that change of heart comes, they're more open to you, to listen to you. And to what and they want to actually apply what you tell them to do. So when they're in training with you as a coach, you focus on their strong points, not the weak points, not the past. There's counselors, there's people that does that. Coming back to what I'm called as a mentor, as a coach, to stay in my lane and not doing what the counselor, yes, I also do counseling when it's a one-to-one and there needs to be deliverance or inner healing. I believe in that. I believe that the Holy Spirit knows everything about that person, and by his guidance, he in the past and up to now, always right. When that's why before you go and you pray, Lord, let me bring somebody my way today. Let me meet up with somebody that's got an accepted heart. And where I will sow your seed, that you are the one I can sow, the other one will come and water it, but you're the one that will give growth to it. You will bring the growth in that seed. And so when, what do I do by God's grace is to pray about it, and then no hardened heart will, it's like the farmer preparing a ground to sow. That a field, that harvest field, or where he's going to plant the crop or the seed, needs to be prepared. So how do you prepare a hardened heart or a soft heart? Is by building a relationship with that person. Not just starting to hammer them, not just starting to correct them, but when God comes and bring that change in their lives, and that heart, hardened heart, change into a soft heart that says, "You, I want to listen, I want to learn, I want to change. I'm a receptive heart. I don't want to reject this." When that transformation comes, it's much easier, because when you build a relationship with them, bring that to them that they can trust you. I always say this, your name is safe with me, so they can trust you. So the question is, do you really love me from their side? Do you really care? And can you help me? And if that is in place, that soil is prepared so you can start sowing the seed. But remember one thing, as a mentor, and Peter, you can talk about this. I also want to speak to you sometime on Broltate, that we will talk about burnout. Because why do mentors or coaches burn out? It's because of they get to a place where they believe they are the one that must bring the change. And because they don't live by faith, they live by frustration. They get to a place where, but I'm not good enough to help people to change. You can never change somebody. You can give them the truth, and if they know the truth, then they will be set free. So, in my case, I always share my testimony, and that helps a lot. God uses that, convince them that they need the Lord, and then the change will come. So for me, it's very important also to have that relationship with them, that they can trust you. They know, yo, this guy is really here because he loves me, he cares for me, and he wants the best for me. He sees the champion in me that nobody else sees. And under that hardened heart is a soft heart, because when God breaks that heart. So your question in the beginning, Mentor, and I want to finish with this. We must always know that the person that God will choose to do a great thing or use in his kingdom is normally a person that other people will say, no good. No good. That's a nobody. How does that song? I'm no nobody that just want to tell anybody about somebody. You know, it's coming back to that question, how do I know if somebody is ready? Normally when that hardened heart is broken, a broken, down and out person comes to a place and say, I'm sick and tired of this life. They get to a place, I don't want to go into prison the whole time, like popcorn, in and out, in and out, in and out the whole time. I need to change in this place now. This must be a place of rehabilitation for me. And that's why I always tell them, the best rehabilitation program there is this book, The Word of God. This is the best rehabilitation program. This book doesn't just rehabilitate you. It transforms you into a new person, into a new creation. So a broken, down and out person, normally, most of the times, in my case, especially in the prisons, that's the one that is ready to be coached and to be mentored, so that there will be fruit in that person's life to the glory of God. Thanks, Mentor.
Yes, it comes back to what O. Henry said. That receptiveness. If you have to ask yourself the question, there must be more. I don't want to live like this. And Frick, I had a moment like that a couple of weeks ago. Peter at our last campfire camp. You get there and you sit there and you think, okay, I'm part of the team. It's not about me. I'm sorted. That terrible, terrible attitude of entitlement. I have arrived, and I was sitting there, and I just asked myself the question, but there's more. Why have I stopped searching? There's so much more. I've not even scratched the surface yet. If you keep on asking that question, is this okay? Or is there more? Because I don't think I would love to have the chat one day around the table and say, okay, please put up your hands who has actually arrived, who has got all the knowledge and knows everything, and you sort it. I think we're going to have a very quiet hour of sitting, staring at each other, being a little bit scared.
A very short meeting.
A very short meeting, yes. Vim, vim, go for it, please. Ken, I'm coming to you now.
Morning, friends. On the issue of what we discussed this morning, I believe in any mentor-mentee situation, there is biblical principles as our friends speak about, that is Jesus Christ. That is a non-negotiable. Now, for those who are mentees, it is very difficult, or it's difficult to accept what the mentor informs you about or teach you about in the change process to grow more near to God. When you look, for example, say at the parable that Henry speak about, and you understand the issue about the seed, I believe, and that's the way I understand it to be, they should, when you look at farmers, they always look for the best seed to plant in whatever soil there is. Bad seed in good soil will not grow and will not bear fruit. Coming back to you as an individual, and this is what I would like to inform the mentees about. If you have a mentor, you must remember, mentee, you must become good seed. You must for understand what the biblical principles is that God wants from you on which you have to stand and grow. Once that is in place, you will be able to have a non-destroyable foundation on which you build your growth. Now come the interesting issue to me. The moment your principles are in place and you know you understand what God wants from you or expects from you or the Holy Spirit expects from you in this mentee-mentor relationship, something drastically will happen and a miracle will happen. Because what is important, you can change as per God's will, and then what is important, old beliefs and ways you have done things which is embedded in yourself from childhood onwards is not important anymore. You can use the principles of God, the foundation on which you stand, and with the teachings of the mentor, you can then change, chop and change your beliefs. You can chop and change the sequence in which you apply the principles. And once you have principles, you can accept the detail that comes from the mentor. So, friends, this is an issue where I believe we as the mentee must also have a change. We speak about change of heart, but this is the way I see change of heart in a more practical way. The moment your principles are in place, the detail doesn't matter. Because as time comes, what is 10 years ago acceptable and which was 10 years ago the standard will change due to circumstances, changing environments, changing situations. And as life goes on, there's no stagnation in the past versus growth. Growth always changes. Seed becomes a plant. Plants have leaves, and it looks completely different than what the seed looks. So My plea is that we as mentees who must accept, we must accept the principles of God and build on that. That will give you a clear conscience and no fear for change. If that is not in place, it will be difficult to grow, as we have the seed that needs to grow, and it will also always be difficult to be a mentee that honor a mentor who grow. Same with a mentor. We discuss it. And again, I come back to what I said last week. The book of Proverbs clearly say a mentor or a wise man, because a wise man normally is a mentor. And the mentor is also open to teaching, to learning, and to growth. And if I look at today's societies, and now I speak as a sociologist, if I look at today's society, there's no more mentors in the older generation, as we, our generation had when we had young, were young. When we were young, the mentors were there. They stood on biblical principles. They taught us. Are we willing to be the mentors today in our generation? These are the questions we need to answer. But change of heart for me is a mentee who stands on the word of God and open him or herself for growth. Thank you.
Thank you, Mbim. We'll add that to your wise saying of last week, the knowledge is more important than the money. And it comes back to that thing that Peter said. You know, I don't know if you guys remember the movie Karate Kid. Yeah, and Mr. Miyagi taught him wax on, wax off. You know, come early and wax on, wax off. You know, show your commitment and your endurance. Yeah, first show your commitment and endurance. Show up at 5:30, bring the coffee. If you're entitled, say, no, I'm not going to be there at 5:30. Let's negotiate. I'll be there at 8. Yeah. And then you've lost your teacher, because he says, no, this guy is not serious about this business. Peter, gaan voort asseblief.
Okay. I just want to say that the soft heart is a guy with a teachable spirit. You know, the Greek word that is translated in our Bible with the word disciple can also be translated with the word learner. In other words, a disciple is one who is prepared to learn. And in John 4:1-6, John wrote the following. He said, "We are from God. The person who knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit." So for me, one with a soft heart is somebody with a teachable spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Wise words. Ken, how many times have you got to speak to people about the one that you're in love with just because of your kind heart and the way that you tackle things? You know, the way that you do things and you get in and you get stuck in. And somebody, I think it was Freek, said, does the student see the champion in you? You know, they see this guy knows what he's doing. He's getting into it. He's doing it. And then suddenly you have the students approaching, you know, and asking, show us. There's the question, Kim. We can't hear you. We can't hear you, Kim. Have you got a problem there? Can you see the frustration? We can now say what we want about Ken, and he cannot argue with us because he's Henry, while again is sorting out the sound, how many times has that happened to you? I know that you're also a guy that just gets into things, and I'm almost want to be naughty enough and say where you are busy building at the moment. I'm talking about the physical, hard physical work, how you've attracted attention with what you're doing.
Yeah, certainly. We've had attention from all over, Christians and non-Christians. It's just people come up there and say, we've heard that you're building, and want to ask about it. I think it's a bit unusual for a 70-year-old man to tackle building a house himself. So, but it brings glory to God, and that's what we want. Whatever we're building, whatever we're doing, that it'll bring glory to God, and people, people respond to the way that you do things, and so we need to be sure that we do things right. I was thinking as you spoke about the farmer. That has to prepare the soil, and so and it just brought back something I learned from Brian Aldrieve. Now, Brian Aldrieve is a person who started Farming God's Way in Zimbabwe, and now it's called Foundations for Farming. And he's quite strongly against ploughing. He says you mustn't plough. And because it breaks up the soil, it destroys it. It opens up the what the worms have spent a lot of time trying to do. It opens up and kills the worms. And then I thought the way that God revealed this to him, he was very concerned about the lack of production overall in Zimbabwe. I can't remember the figures. But he gave actual figures of the average tons per hectare that was being produced throughout Zimbabwe, and something like some excellent farmers can maybe produce 10 tons per hectare, and the overall production was just a few, two, one or 200 kilograms per hectare. And he said basically if each person could just increase their personal capacity or production by doubling it, which is very easy, there'd be enough maize to export and feed the world kind of thing. So he prayed and asked the Lord to teach him how to do that. And then the Lord said to him, go out into the bush. And he walked out among the trees and so on. And the Lord said to him, has anybody ploughed here? He said, no. So he said, the Lord said to him, how come there's so much foliage and everything grows very well when nobody has ploughed? And it got him thinking, and he started seeing, what is the excellence of the, as it were, ploughing in the bush where nobody's brought in expensive tractors and stuff. And then he saw that all the old leaves, the brokenness and so on, has fallen into the ground, and that's become the compost. And then the little worms come up and take from there and create little passages in the soil where water can go in and be retained and not just washed off. And he realized composting is God's way, where he prepares the soil through composting. And so from that comes the Farming God's Way principle of cutting down your old mealie stalks and so on, and just leaving it on the ground so that the worms can come and do the composting, and then just plant the seed in that composted soil. And from there has come just amazing production. And they do their work and teaching people how to farm. And I just thought about that as you were speaking about plowing, that what does plowing do? It breaks up the soil of our heart. It just breaks it up and messes up with what God has done. And what God's done is just the old things just naturally break down as new rain comes and what have you. And Brian said to me once, he was asked to be a speaker at the International Forum for Production or whatever, Lantbo, agriculture in Kenya. And he went there, and there were these all these advertising agents with their big tractors and millions of dollars worth of equipment. And everybody's saying, this tractor does more than the other tractor can do, and all that. And so he brought one of the African people in the rural areas that had followed the Farmer God's Way principle of just going with a budza, we call it a hoe, and it produced an amazing crop. And so when it came to his turn, he spoke about no plowing and just compost and so on, and then going with a hoe and just breaking up a little bit to put the seed in and grow. And he showed photos of this amazing crop standing well above your heads with the maize. And then he got the African man who did this, the farmer, who, and he said he must bring his budza, his hoe, with him. Now all these adverts are there for these big tractors can do it, and he showed this big photo on the screen of this amazing crop. And then this man came and he held up his hoe and he said, "I did it with this." It was just a completely different thing than just, as Freek speaks about, going into prisons and telling people what they've done wrong, just breaking up everything. No, you don't do it like that. You get God to do the work, and you just make sure that all the old stuff falls down and becomes a learning thing for the future. It's just a different way of approaching, and it's just letting God do the work. You just prepare it, but let God do the work of breaking up all the old stuff, all the that becomes the compost in which to grow, and that makes soft soil. When the old stuff by God is just brought and broken down, and all the little worms and what have you, and God prepares the heart and makes a soft soil, and you start realizing, as I said early on, I don't know everything. I need to learn. And that's God just preparing my heart and saying, "Henry, you need to learn. As a discipler, I need to learn." And I'm learning all the time. As I disciple others, I'm learning all the time. And it's God that's doing that. Just a thought.
What a beautiful story about that. Is it that little curved hoe with a handle on it? It's got a short little
Yeah.
handle. Yes.
No, it's a big handle, but
Is it a big
you just
handle?
go in. Yeah, just go
A
in. All
scuffle.
it is
It's
you just
awful.
open the soil to put the seed in, and you close that same soil.
Wow. I've got some friends that do some outreach in Zimbabwe and so on, and they went to the man that invited them, and he said, "Why did you invite us? The people are not listening to us, about farming, because they were coming to teach about farming and teach about God." And he said, "Tomorrow morning, before you guys start, show the people your hands. Show them that they've got hands that work." He said it made all the difference. The moment the people realized, but these guys are actually not working only with a pen and a computer, but also working with their hands. They've got hands that show a working man hands. They started listening to them.
You know, something Brian Aldrich said in that discussion. He said, "Yeah, these people come with millions of dollars, US dollars worth of tractors that they want to advertise. He said, nobody can afford that. You've
Mm.
got to give big loans and approval, and then you make yourself in debt with something you can't afford, you're not used to it. A hoe, anybody can afford, and you can produce much more than what you need for to consume for your family. You can be a blessing to other people around. And if each person can produce 10 times what they eat, they can actually feed 10 other families. And that's the principle, without debt.
Yeah, it's the principle of the 100 rand man. There's a guy here, I can't remember now exactly where, but he has made his little farming area between the two streets, by the robot. He set up a little because there was soil there, so he planted, and
Very
he's producing. I mean,
good.
so cool. Awesome. Ken, are you with us?
Yeah, I think I'm back. This thing works. The other didn't. Sorry about that. Yeah, man. Nenzo, just, I'm just the normal man, natural man on the street with all the kids. Jesus speaks a lot about the soil. And he talks about different types of soil. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But let me tell you about farming. We always wait for the rain to soften the soil. Because when we try and put that plow in or rip that ground apart, it's impossible to penetrate that hard soil unless you've got big, big tractors. But us small guys, we just keep things small and we just go with the small stuff. So I believe that children of God, we need to be more, less mentors, but more gardeners. We need to actually be. I call myself a gardener of the heart. You need to firstly discern the person because that person is like soil. You either got the soft one or you got the hard one. And we just really need to discern how's the person's heart right now? Where are they? What has happened in their lives? Have they had hurts or are they soft and pliable? And I really believe that as we journey on with this, we can see more into people's hearts. There are children that I can input into a lot on the street that are soft and pliable and will receive the word of God. And just basically, it's not only that, it's actually the love. You've got to pour out love and you've got to be a Jesus person to those people. So many times we can bring them with a lot of scripture and stuff, but the main thing is people read you. I want to tell you something now. People can read you. They can tell you, are you the person? Are you genuine, actually? Or are you just another guy pushing the word? And I think it's very important that we as children of God need to firstly discern who we're talking to. See the person that we're speaking to and ask the Holy Spirit to really guide us in what we're saying. And I see a lot of results, good results, when we've taken our time to actually be patient, soft, and the people will just feel that. And yeah, so that's basically the heart of what I want to say today is that many people have issues. Many people have got pain, which are hard people. But the more you water, the more it's like the soil. The more we get water into that soil, the softer it becomes. And yeah, so we just got to spend time with them. Yeah. I'd say let's be faithful sowers. Let's be prayerful. Let's always be ready to nurture growth, and move forward in that. And I really believe that even people listening to this, there are so many people out there that maybe are hopeless, maybe are lost and have hurts. But just to know that there are people out there that are genuine, that are carers and are there for them with the love of the Lord.
Thank you, Ken. Gentle, gentle rain.
Your gentle rain, yes,
Is there anything more soothing than gentle rain?
absolutely.
I love the rain.
It's interesting also that before Jesus chose his disciples, and I mean, if you try to do a university study on what kind of disciples should be chosen, you wouldn't have chosen those disciples. But before Jesus chose his disciples, he spent a night in prayer, asking the Father. I mean, that's part of this rain that softens the, chooses the right people who've got the right hearts.
It is something, Henry, you touched on something now that woke me up this morning early, is the amount of time, if you read in the New Testament, the amount of time Jesus spent in prayer with his Father. Just getting counsel, just staying in touch, just connecting. I'm still trying to figure this out, but the amount of time that Jesus left the disciples to go and just connect, with his Father. And it goes again about the student and the mentor, or the father and the son, that relationship, because effectively that is what it is. A mentor student relationship is almost a father and son relationship. Anthony, you had your hand up.
Yeah, good morning. I think also be relatable, show that you're also vulnerable. People will listen to you when they see that you're also someone who's gone through struggles. I experience that sometimes a seed can lay for 30 years in the ground and nothing can happen, and then just at the right time, the Lord will send the right water, and the right person will come, and that seed will sprout, and it will become something. In my own personal life, the seeds that were sown as a little boy in church only manifested at the age of 33 when I was ready to receive that. But in the industry that I'm in, I find people relate to me because I can say, look, I've also gone through the struggle. You see the scars. I'm carrying the same scar, but it's just a scar now. God has healed me. And a lot of times a teacher or a mentor or someone wants to teach you, they talk from this point of strength, and then people don't relate to them because they're too high up. Whereas if you show, but you're also vulnerable, you're also going through things, you've also, now you can, now you're relatable. They can actually see that you've gone through the struggle. Now they start receiving from me, because you're not going to receive from someone who thinks they're too high up and they want to teach you how to do it with the word, and instead of being able to say, look, oh yeah, this is the path that I've walked. And that's the amazing thing about the journey that the Lord puts us on, because most of us, I mean, if you look at Freek, if he didn't go through what he went through, he wouldn't have been able to minister to the people that he ministers to. And I'm also sure in his environment, there are many guys who don't come to the meetings for many years, and then just one day when the soil is ready and the water's been thrown and that guy's in the right position, the Holy Spirit puts the right word in Freek's mouth, and the guy receives it, and he changes his life forever,
Yes, Anthony, you've touched an interesting point there. How much is enough time? When do you give up? How many times have I seen the guys in the background? I'm looking at talking about now in the factory, and he'll sit there in the background and he'll watch and he'll see and he'll learn, but it doesn't look like there's any potential. And then some shift happens, and the next moment this guy just pops out. He's learned, he's observed, he's seen. And suddenly he starts shining. Freek, we can get back to Atman. He was sitting there in the background. Not good, not bad, not nothing. Just learning, observing, taking in, learning, observing, taking in, repeat. And then one day, when it was necessary, he And I would imagine that is a lot of our stories in any case. Freek, I want to maybe ask you to do something for us. And I know that this is the joy of your life, but I'm sure there's people out there this morning that wants that gentle rain, that wants to experience that special love that God has got, that wants to be the soft soil, but they don't know how to start. They don't know the first step. They are stuck before the first step. And we know that the first step to all of these things we're talking about is to ask God to come into our life. And it's a question that has been that I've been busy with is, people will say, I give my heart to God. You've actually got nothing to give. It's not a gift. It's asking that you've got a beautiful word for shun, come in unity. So, Freek, if you don't mind just taking over, if you've got a wish you want to in your hearts of hearts that you want the soft rain, the gentle love of God, that's how I got saved.
Amen.
It wasn't a big moment. It wasn't a big, it was a gentle, sweet surrender into something that changed my life forever. And it's awesome. So thank you, Freek.
Yeah, thanks, Menzo. Coming down to a song in my heart now, that I heard just after I got saved is Change My Heart, O God. And if that's your prayer this morning, that it all starts with God doing a heart transplant in you. David says in Psalm 51, he asked the Lord, he's calling out to God after he sinned massively. He said, give him renew in me a pure heart. Give me a pure heart and a heart, a soft heart, that I will be able to learn. Firstly, listen, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And so if you're ready for that and you want to pray with us, you feel your God is watering your heart and heart. He's putting in the soil. He's doing the work on you now. He's the only one that can convince you. We cannot convince you. It's only Him. And as the Holy Spirit is ministering to you now and talking to you, it's just about, here's my heart, O Lord. I open up. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me for your glory. Renew in me a pure heart. Give me a pure heart. Filled with your joy, your peace, your righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me, wash me clean. You have bought me with a price. You have died on Calvary on the cross for me. You became sin so that I can be free and that I can live. You died so that I can live. But you're not dead. You're risen. You have risen and you are alive. And I ask you now, Lord, to make me your child. Adopt me today. Accept me as your child. And make me now the person that you created me to be. Help me not to miss the spot anymore. Help me not to miss why I was created. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come and be the king of my life, the king of my heart. Reign in me, so that I can reign with you. I also forgive everybody who trespassed against me, who hurted me so much that my heart became hard. I forgive them. I set them free. I bless them. I ask you, Lord Jesus, now to baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with fire, and to make me the person that you wanted me to be. Live your dream through me. Thank you that your will that is already done in heaven will be my portion on this earth. And that's all for your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sure. Thank you, Freek. I think we're done with the meeting. Thank you very much for joining around the table.
Thanks for joining us at the Transformation Table. Until next time, keep growing, keep walking in purpose, and stay about God's business.